prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
And the Crossbreed Holster Studios this week are back in Atlanta, Georgia, after a cold, snow-filled last week in the great city of Minneapolis. A little bit chilly, very brisk. Enjoyed that. And a big thank you to all of the fine folks at Gander Mountain and the hundreds and hundreds of you who came out to the, let's just say, the Gander Mountain Expo, which was just fantastic. If you miss one, we'll be in Houston, Texas, Spring, Texas, Gander Mountain Academy, the 1st, March 1st. See if you can swing that. Houston listeners, come on out for that. That's going to be huge. A big win for gun owners, ladies and gentlemen, and a huge, I like saying this, stinging, crushing defeat for the anti-gun forces, the freedom haters in this nation, in not only California, but across America earlier this week, when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, widely regarded as the nation's most liberal court, and in fact the most overturned court in the land, struck down California's May issue CCW rules, which in essence allowed each individual county to determine or restrict your right to get a permit as a law-abiding citizen by forcing you to show just cause. Quite subjective, by the way. The majority of the justices in a 2-1 ruling said those restrictions, restricting your right to bear arms, violated the nation's Second Amendment. Now, we all know that to be the case. As gun rights supporters, freedom supporters, whether you own a gun or not, those who support freedom, and as supporters and defenders of the U.S. Constitution, all of it, not just parts we might like, Obama, Holder. Joining me today here on Armed American Radio to discuss this case, among some other things, one of the most knowledgeable persons in this country, particularly as it pertains to your right to bear arms, a man who has dedicated his life to fighting for your right to keep and bear arms, a man I'm proud to call a friend, the guy with toothpicks under his eyes while the rest of the sheep sleep soundly in their beds at night, and the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, a frequent guest on this show, Mr. Alan Gottlieb. Alan, welcome back to Armed American Radio. A pleasure to have you here, my friend, as usual.
Hey, Mark, it's always great to be with you, and especially in a celebration of a great week.
Wow, I got to tell you, well, we're going to talk about some of this, you know, some of the other things occurring across the country, but I want to start here. I could fill the hour with this, and we'll probably spend a good portion of time here. Alan, this was a huge victory, albeit another incremental step, but nonetheless, this was a bigger step than we normally see, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I was actually at the oral arguments from the Ninth Circuit, heard this case, along with the Pruda case, along with the Richards case, which is the Second Amendment Foundation, Cal Gun Foundation case, at the same time, also on Cary in California, but a different county than San Diego. It was Yolo County. And we had the same panel of judges for both the cases. And after walking out of the oral arguments, I was convinced that there was no way in the world that we weren't going to get a 2-1 decision. I knew there was one judge that wasn't going to rule our way, and I knew there were two judges that were definitely going to rule our way. So I was not surprised by the ruling. It just, for me, it took forever for this ruling to finally come down. And it came down at an extremely important time for us, because we have a cert petition on Cary before the U.S. Supreme Court right now, the Drake petition out of New Jersey. Right. And so this couldn't come at a better time for us, because now we have three circuits saying that you don't have a right to carry and two circuits saying you do have a right to carry, which almost forces the Supreme Court to definitely hear the Drake case. I am really excited and on pins and needles.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and that's what I wanted we'll go there in a second. Let's back up for just a second. Let's talk about the Peruta case. This was Peruta versus County of San Diego. And I want to read to you a statement from Jonathan Lowry, a director of Legal Action Project, the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence. They just don't know what to do about this. Let me read you this quote. Neither history or precedent supports this aberrant split decision that concocts a dangerous right of people to carry hidden handguns in public places to people whom law enforcement has determined that they have no good cause or qualifications to do so. The parents of Jordan Davis and Trayvon Martin, got to go here, right, whose children were killed by licensed concealed carry holders, could educate the court about the real dangers posed by this legal error. We are hopeful that this mistake will be corrected by the entire court. Before I go any farther, I want to make it very clear, ladies and gentlemen, Trayvon Martin, of course, George Zimmerman, was found not guilty under Florida law and acted in self-defense. Yet the Brady campaign will still continue to cite that. Yet they fail to remind you that George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin under Florida law in self-defense. They don't like that, but that's the fact. Alan, your thoughts on that statement from the Bradys?
Well, it's full of falsehoods, first of all, as you're pointing out, but also that it's couched in extremely inflammatory language. You know, hidden handguns. I mean, anything they can do to pick a word or an adjective right. that's going to make it sound bad, or the gun owners are bad, or demonize guns and gun owners is what they're going to do. What's interesting is what he's not saying is that in this case, the Brady Center actually filed an amicus brief where they argued that your Second Amendment rights don't exceed outside your front door. You know, they're only limited to your home. They don't bother to say that.
Why would they? This is, yeah. Sean, you're
Mark,
laughing too. I know. Yeah. I hear you back there.
This is exactly the intellectual dishonesty that right. gun rights people have to deal with the anti-gun rights movement, gun prohibition lobby in this country.
And Alan, what makes it so difficult is the mainstream media generally takes the side of this intellectual dishonesty. And we know that to be the case. You can read various stories from various news outlets, and they'll couch it in certain ways and spin it the way they want to. Now, this is, as you said, a very inflammatory language. Let's kind of pick this apart a second, if we could. Neither history or precedent supports this aberrant split decision that concocts a dangerous right of people to carry hidden handguns in public places to people whom law enforcement have determined that they have no good cause or qualifications to do so. Let me make this very clear. They're referring to Dunn in the Jordan Davis case, who, by the way, was just found guilty. He passed the background checks that they want for everybody. They've already passed that background check. Falsehood to begin with, Alan. And again, the same thing with George Zimmerman. Both of these men passed background checks and lawfully owned their firearms.
Well, it's worse than that, though. They're also totally, when they say an aberrant decision, means they're totally ignoring the fact of the Second Amendment Foundation's victories in Bateman in North Carolina, right. Ezell in Illinois, in Moore versus Madigan in Illinois. I mean, they're totally ignoring the fact that lots of courts have ruled exactly the other way. So, I mean, this is like spewing out, quite frankly, just total falsehoods.
Well, it's important that this comes out. It's important that we talk about this on this show because the opening statement he made, neither history or precedent, you just listed how many? Four cases,
well,
at least?
Well, there's Ezell, there's Moore, there's Bateman, and there's others as well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this particular case, if you look at the judge's decision on it, I mean, they looked at Heller, they looked at McDonald, they quoted from those, they quoted from Ezell, they quoted from Moore. I mean, the bottom line is it's not an aberrant decision. If you read the decision, you would see that they're relying on past precedents as well from other courts and other circuits.
Okay. I have to say this
again. I'm almost a little angry because it's outright lies and falsehoods.
Right.
And the problem is, unfortunately, a lot of judges, like the judge who ruled against us in this case, it was 2-1, the one judge who ruled against us, bought off on these kinds of falsehoods, and it really disturbs me for this intellectual dishonesty, especially when it comes from the legal community.
All right, did he buy off on intellectual dishonesty, or does he participate actively in an agenda that pushes intellectual dishonesty? There's a big difference there. That's why so many people have lost faith in our court system. We see it in 5-4 decisions in the Supreme Court all the time. We almost throw our arms up and we say we already know how they're going to vote. Is that the case here?
Well, I guess it is, and I guess it shows we're only always one judge away from having our rights annihilated. And that's why Barack Obama in the White House is so dangerous with all these judges that he appoints that are totally anti-gun rights. This is a problem that we face, and gun owners have to realize that, again, the upcoming November elections have very big consequences to the whole gun rights movement. And these midterm elections are really important to protecting our rights. You know, we always like to say this upcoming election is most important in our history.
Right.
Well, I got news for you. This one coming up probably is.
Yeah, this is the way the Senate falls here. I'm assuming that you're referring to the Senate.
Correct.
Okay. Obviously, with Harry Reid invoking the nuclear option, as it pertains to Barack Obama's judicial appointments, requiring now a mere simple majority. Now, I have my theories on that. We're getting ready to take a break, and when we come back from that break, I'll give you those theories, and I want to get your reaction to it, because I think he did it knowing exactly what is coming in November, and I think he did it in conjunction with the White House. They're not as stupid as we might give them credit for. Armed American Radio continues. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. My special guest, Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation, right after this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet, used by law enforcement and civilians around the world? The Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com. Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today.
North American Arms offers the most popular mini revolvers ever produced. Chambered in 22 short, 22 long rifle, and 22 magnum, the North American Arms mini revolvers are the standard by which all other mini revolvers are judged. These incredibly small and compact revolvers offer 5-shot capacity in your pocket when the chips are down and your life is on the line. The 22 long rifle can also be ordered with a holster grip. For more information on these incredible mini revolvers, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
The Ruger American Rifle is a 100% American-made firearm that offers outstanding performance at a great price. Available in standard size and compact models, it features power bedding integral bedding blocks, a Ruger Marksman adjustable trigger, a flush-fit 4-round rotary magazine, and a 3-lug bolt with 70-degree throw. Compact models feature a shorter length of pull and a shorter barrel for a reduction in overall length of more than 5 inches. The Ruger American Rifle, another rugged and reliable firearm from Ruger.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
This segment of AAR is being brought to you by the Mad Ogre and Decode Holsters. Pick yours up at tacticalholsters.com. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. We are talking with Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Love the ring to that, don't you? I do. Mm-hmm. Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing well. A little bit warmer here. We had another bout of global warming here in the South this week.
Yeah, it's burning up here. I feel like I'm in a desert. You know, we were real cold, too.
Yeah, global warming ice. Yeah. Funny how that works. I was watching the hysterical NBC news coverage with Brian Williams.
It's climate change.
Yes, it's funny how they were showing floods in England and snow in New England, and you knew where they were going, and myself and one of the guys from The Fish were sitting here watching. I said, watch, it's a matter of seconds before they say climate change, at which point he said climate change.
Yeah, that's a new narrative.
Yeah, it's not global warming anymore, it's climate change. Yeah. We'll have some fun with that later with the Ogre. This California case, vitally important, particularly because it's coming out of California, mm-hmm. number one. And number two, as my great guest Alan Gottlieb said in the first segment, we now have this rift between the circuits that almost forces the Supreme Court to have to take a look at this. Alan Gottlieb, welcome back. Let's go there, can we?
Sure, I'd love to. Again, what it is, we have the Second Amendment Foundation has this case, Drake, out of New Jersey, which basically attacks New Jersey's so-called carry law, where they don't let anybody get a permit to carry. And the bottom line is that while this is pending before the Supreme Court to hear the cert petition, this just came out of California. And by the way, this is only the first shoe to fall out of California, because again, argued on the same day was the Second Amendment Foundation's Richards case. And it's the same panel, and that could come out any day. I assume one day next week we get another decision out of California knocking down another county's anti-carry law in California, which will be written equally as well or even better than the Peruta decision. And so we're going to have two of them coming out of the Ninth Circuit, not just one.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. That's music to my ears. Can we back up on that for just a second?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's talk first. Give me the background on the Peruta decision in San Diego. To listeners who might not be aware of the case we're talking about, let's go back to the beginning here, Alan, and tell us how this case came about and why.
Well, in San Diego County, in California, first of all, the permits are issued by the county sheriffs, and California is a may-issue state. In San Diego County, the sheriff basically just doesn't give out permits to people, you know, with a few exceptions if you're, you know, a good campaign contributor or something. But by and large, the petitioners in this case were people that were either turned down from being able to get a permit because they shouldn't show they had, you know, good cause where their life was immediately in danger, or that they didn't bother to apply because they knew they'd be turned down.
Now, good cause, though, is the operative term here, Alan, because good cause is very subjective. When the good sheriff here determines good cause, this is important that we bring this out, because we had the same situation in New York where it was upheld. We'll go there in just a minute.
Right.
But
okay.
good cause is very subjective.
Right. Now, the same day the Peruta case was heard, the case known as Richards, which started out under another name because it was against two counties, Sacramento County and Yolo County in California. Sacramento dropped out of the lawsuit by capitulating to sign a consent agreement with the Second Amendment Foundation, making them a shall-issue county in California that they wouldn't use good cause. So we dropped them from the lawsuit, but Yolo County stayed in, and that's Richards, the lead plaintiff in that case, heard the same day. Now, the difference between San Diego County and Yolo County is in Yolo County, they won't even give you an application to fill out. So you can't even you flat out can't even, you know, have an opportunity to be denied because they won't even give you the application to fill out. So as a result, it's basically an absolute total ban, no matter what, how you want to slice it or dice it. And that decision was heard the same day as Richards by the appeals court, and that decision should be coming out any day now. That's the second shoe that's going to fall in the Ninth Circuit. So it'll be two quote-unquote cases upholding the right to carry coming out of the Ninth Circuit. And both of those are just perfect timing, again, for our great case out of New Jersey that we need heard by the Supreme Court. Because right now, Peruta only is going to affect in the Ninth Circuit really two states, California and Hawaii, that have may-issue laws. So getting Drake to the Supreme Court would then take out the other six states in the country that don't allow the right to carry. And I'm really excited about this because we could have within the next, you know, year, year and a half, right to carry established all across the country.
You know, you have been on this program so many times, and we've talked about the fear in the courts and how important it is that people pay attention to these judicial appointees, particularly at the federal level, on these lifetime appointments. And I believe we are right now, I think Obama has tilted the circuits. I believe, I think he's tilted one or two circuits now with his appointments, and how dangerous this game is. And it's so good to hear you. I'm feeling jovial and really good about this right now. Makes me feel good. And ladies and gentlemen, it should make you feel good too, because the man that you're listening to is neck deep in these suits and knows
now,
a little bit.
Yeah, Mark, I just want to say, while I'm a little jovial, I'm also cautiously guarded and optimistic, I should say, rather than jovial.
Sure, of course.
Quite frankly, again, we experienced, you know, rule by man, not rule by law, when we come up against Obama or Clinton appointed judges. So the bottom line here is it's really tough. And again, the Supreme Court doesn't, you know, it's not a guaranteed path that they hear our cases. They pick and choose. So we got to still put a lot of pressure on, you know, the Supreme Court to hear this Drake case. And this past week, some of that other pressure got put on at the same time. We have 34 members of Congress filed an amicus brief on our behalf urging the Supreme Court to hear the Drake case. And we also had 19 states through their attorney generals also petition the Supreme Court to hear the Second Amendment Foundation's Drake case, along with a number of other groups as well, Gun Owners of America, right. NRA petitioned as well. So with a little bit of luck, we're going to get this Drake case before the court, but there's still no guarantee. So what we're trying to make as much pressure and get more people involved as possible on showing everybody how important it is that with the circuit split, the Supreme Court right now needs to step up, hear this case, and resolve the question.
Now, give me the circuits now that are split.
Oh, you do that to me, right?
The Second Circuit, okay. Right? The Second Circuit in New York?
The Second Circuit in New York split against us. The Fourth Circuit split against us.
Right.
The Seventh Circuit in the Midwest went for us. The Ninth Circuit went for us. And I think it's the Fourth Circuit. Second, Fourth, and Third, I think it is, went against us. And the Seventh and Ninth went for us.
Now, the New York case is one that many people are familiar with. I won't say more. Many people are familiar with the New York case. In New York, it was a very similar case to the Peruta case where the shall issue, if you will, was actually upheld, where the Second Circuit said, yeah, you know what, the state can require good cause, that it is not a violation of the Second Amendment, yet the state has the right to regulate that. What the Ninth Circuit said was the Second Amendment gives us the right to bear arms. And I think another important part of this decision, Alan, too, is that the Ninth Circuit, it's hard to believe the Ninth Circuit said this, so I'll take this into the break and then get your response. But what the Ninth Circuit actually said was the Second Amendment gives us, as Americans, the right to keep and bear arms. The state can regulate how those arms can
right.
be carried,
yep.
i.e. Yep. concealed or open, but they cannot outright deny you the right to bear arms, which is protected in the Second Amendment. And I know in their decision, they also cited the Heller case from 2008. When we come back, I'll let you answer that and take the conversation forward here on the Armed American Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom with the great Alan Gottlieb of the Second Amendment Foundation, talking freedom and gun rights right after this.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.com. NRAHQ.org.
You've just stepped inside the Garden Tomb, where Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah! 3 days after they lay his body here, the stone that blocked the cave could not block the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood and walked out of that tomb. His resurrection from the dead, his journey into everlasting life, these moments have never felt so real, so close, as they are in this very place. What does it feel like to be baptized in the waters of the Jordan River? To walk to Golgotha where he died? Find out for yourself. Come to Israel and feel the wonder of the Holy Land. Ask your pastor or visit GoIsrael.com to learn more about making the journey that will transform your faith in God and his word. Experience Israel. You'll never be the same.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by Crossbreed Holsters. Often imitated, never duplicated. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Welcome back. This from the Los Angeles Times. Erwin Kamarinsky, constitutional law expert at UC Irvine's School of Law, expressed doubt that the decision would be upheld by a larger Ninth Circuit panel, though the outcome might depend on which judges were randomly chosen to decide the case. UCLA professor Adam Winkler, an expert on gun laws, called the ruling, quote, a huge victory for gun owners in California. They have been seeking the right to carry concealed weapons for years now, Winkler said. Gun control advocates have no one but themselves to blame for this ruling, he said. You have to give someone some option to carry a gun. Joining me to discuss this case, Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Alan, welcome back.
Good to be back. Those quotes are interesting quotes. And what's interesting is this, you know, granted the Ninth Circuit's going to have a random choice of judges to determine which ones are on this panel. But they also have to look at a past ruling that they made in Bonk as well, in the Nordeit case. And so the Ninth Circuit also has some past pro-gun rights sentiment done by an en banc panel of the Ninth Circuit, striking down the ban on gun shows, in places in California. So they're going to have to view that as well. And in that case, you had to argue that the Second Amendment rights went beyond your front door. They didn't stop, just at your home. You had them outside your home. And as a result, that precedent should be applied to this as well. So I don't feel so terrible about an en banc panel hearing it. In fact, I'm not even sure that they vote to put an en banc panel in based upon Nordyke's already sort of decided part of this question anyway.
Now, you've talked about the Nordyke case here. We won't go back to that. It will complicate this conversation and lead to another me asking you to stay for another hour and moving everything around again, which I could easily do. But having said that, there is now precedent within the Ninth Circuit Court amongst themselves with the Nordyke decision of last year.
It was a couple years ago
when you were on talking about Nordyke. That's right. So where we are today, moving forward, what are the anti-gunners going to do now? I'm assuming that San Diego will appeal this.
Well, we're not sure 100% that San Diego will appeal it. Conventional wisdom is that they will appeal it. But, you know, if I were the anti-gunners, I'm not sure what I would do with this. I think their big concern right now is that this all adds fuel to the fire for the Drake case, which they don't want the U.S. Supreme Court to hear. And, you know, the Supreme Court could decide to hear Drake as early as mid-April, and probably would be they'd hear it in the next October term. So the anti-gunners right now have to figure out a strategy now to make sure the Supreme Court doesn't hear Drake. And this just makes it easier for the court to want to hear Drake because it gives them a reason to do it.
Fascinating, isn't it, Alan, how all this works? I mean, you play this game every day on behalf of gun owners and have been for many, many, many years. It's impossible to ask for a prediction.
Well, we've actually, Mark, you know, as you're aware, we've actually set up a strategy for this so that, you know, the day that the Heller decision came down, we filed the McDonald suit. The day the McDonald decision came down in our favor, we filed the Bateman suit in North Carolina. And, you know, we set this up as a series of dominoes to fall on the other side. And the reason why we've set in motion all these Kerry cases around the country was so this would percolate up to reach a point where the Supreme Court would have to deal with circuit splits on this issue and be forced to make a decision on it. And I'm hoping we put the Supreme Court in that position now so that donors can finally get a position from the Supreme Court on the right to carry, which would be binding all across the country.
All right, let's talk about the Heller decision. Of course, you have experts on both sides. In this case, we had Winkler, and then we had this Kamarinsky, and there are others. And the Los Angeles Times in this particular piece cites other unnamed experts saying that this ruling went against most other courts. Now, you've just named a few of those circuits, and clearly there is a rift between those circuits. Now, some of those anti-gun experts will tell you that the Heller decision said that you only have a right to keep and bear arms in the home, correct?
Well, that's what they like to say because they know they lost the Heller decision and they want to limit their damages.
Now, moving forward, the Drake decision, if we can get this pushed forward into the Supreme Court, the ultimate outcome would be what? Now, I know the answer to this, but I want to hear it from you based on the particulars of the case. What would be the ultimate outcome?
Well, the ultimate outcome would be is that we'd set in motion the fact that all carry laws across the country would have to be right to carry, you know, a shall issue, not a may issue, and they couldn't use various excuses to deny, you know, legitimate people the right to carry a firearm. They could regulate it with a permit. They could say open carry, not concealed carry, or vice versa, but they couldn't deny you the right to carry. Now, in New Jersey, what's interesting about that case is it has a little twist to it. In order to show good cause in New Jersey, you have to show it twice. Once to your police chief, so to speak, to get the police to sign off on it. Then you have to get a judge to sign off on it as well. So it's a double shot or double whammy. You got to get two different parts of the government to agree that you have this exceptional need to have a firearm. So this is the best case we could ask to go to the Supreme Court. Right. The Drake case is probably our most powerful one to ever get there. And right now it's right on motion and it's headed right for it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is on a collision course for the Supreme Court, and we're very hopeful, unlike the anti-gunners who don't want the case to be heard, Alan, I think it's quite telling that you and I do. We want this case up there, don't we?
Oh, we sure do.
See?
I mean, and this is an ultimate important victory for us, because it really would cement the right to keep and bear arms permanently, in my opinion.
Okay, yeah, this is huge. And now, a couple questions here. Of course, we're concerned about the tilting of the Supreme Court. We know we have a conservative 5-4 on here now. We have Obama in here. Your concern relative to the makeup of the Supreme Court today and the importance of that for Drake moving forward?
I think every gun owner needs to pray for the five justices on that court that both the Heller case and the McDonald case ruled in favor of gun rights because I'm convinced the other four judges will never vote our way. And as a result, we need to make sure those five judges stay healthy.
That's very sad.
Very sad.
It is very sad to have a conversation on national radio and make the prediction, and we all know that to be the case, that we have a court that is literally issuing rulings along partisan lines. We already know how those four justices will decide this case.
The only break that we've seen in the federal court system, in a nonpartisan basis, so to speak, has been the case in Chicago where an Obama-appointed judge did knock down Chicago's ban on gun stores in the city, saying your right to keep your arms based under, Heller and under McDonald, and as well as, it's under Moore, indeed, and Ezell, give you the right outside your home, and if you can't buy a gun, then you can't own one. And he struck down Chicago's ban on gun stores. There's been one Obama-appointed judge that's been intellectually honest.
That's frightening. That's frightening.
It's frightening. But, at least one of them broke, and my hope now is that he's showing that this should not be a partisan issue at all. What's really interesting is a lot of the analogy and logic being used in this case could be used not just on gun rights, but in other areas as well, some arees dear and near to liberals' hearts. And so when they're ruling against gun rights the way they're doing it, they're setting up precedents that are going to come back and bite them on issues and freedoms that they care about.
Yeah, they're not looking ahead to that. They're not right now. They're not thinking ahead. They're not thinking that far ahead. Let's go back to the may issue, shall issue. As it pertains to these cases, including the Drake case moving forward. And we'll have you on to talk about that as this moves forward, probably very quickly. As quick as court cases can be decided and when the Supreme Court will take these and along their schedules. But let's assume that the Drake case is heard and the ruling is heard in our favor. And I know I can hear people saying to me right now, and again, we're coming up on a break, so the timing is good. I'll set this up and allow you to answer it as we close out this hour of the show. I can hear people saying to me right now, okay, well, if the Drake case is won and the right to keep and bear arms has been solidified, as you said, what does that do now when it wipes out shall issue, discretionary issuing of permits, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm talking about. What does that do now for the cause for like the Thune Amendment, national reciprocity, across the country, where one state being forced like a driver's license or a marriage license? When we come back, we'll get some thoughts on that from Alan Gottlieb, and assuming we make that assumption that Drake court case is heard and is heard in our and is decided in our favor. When we come back right after this. Okay, now we're going to talk about how you can get prepared to defend yourself and your family in a worst-case scenario. All of you know I'm a huge fan of Rob Pincus and his work with the Personal Defense Network. Well, the Personal Defense Network has assembled a series of revolutionary handgun training videos designed to make you more efficient with a defensive firearm in the context of a dynamic critical incident. This training course, which is only $39.95, offers more than 3 solid hours of powerful, practical, and proven techniques that will increase your speed and efficiency. Some of the topics covered include things like the balance between speed and precision, one-handed and weak-handed reloads, and, of course, shooting around a corner. So to get a copy of this one-of-a-kind training course and to help support Armed American Radio, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com. Once you order, you'll get the 3-DVD training course for only $39.95 plus shipping and handling. This is a great deal. Check it out. Again, go to armedamericandvdoffer.com and get your copy today.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds and a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with 2 magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
The Ruger 10/22 Takedown. A new take on the legendary Ruger 10/22. With all of the features and functionality of America's favorite rimfire rifle, the Ruger 10/22 Takedown easily separates for convenient storage and transportation. Reassembly is simple and returns the rifle to zero, ensuring precision shot after shot. Packed in a backpack-style bag included with the rifle, the Ruger 10/22 Takedown makes it easy to keep America's favorite rimfire by your side.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Galco's patented new V-Hawk tuckable inside-the-waistband holster reaches unheard-of heights in comfort, speed, stability, and versatility. Constructed of premium steer hide, the V-Hawk comes complete with leather belt loops and tuckable injection-molded hooks. The open-top design offers both speed and ease of draw, and the reinforced mouth offers one-handed return to the holster. Buy the V-Hawk from Galco at GalcoGunLeather.com today. That's GalcoGunLeather.com.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network, the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom coast to coast. 50,000 watts of power. From Florida all the way to the toasty, from Florida to the toasty with the crab, from the toasty beaches of Florida to the crab fishing vessels of Alaska, and all points in between, including parts unknown, wherever Sammy Hagar reaches. We're talking with Alan Gottlieb today about that stinging defeat. That just, I mean, it's just got a, it's a slap on a cold day in Minneapolis to bare skin, stinging defeat when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the rights of law-abiding citizens and struck down, basically, the shall-issue portion of California's laws. Alan, welcome back to the show. Before the break, I said that the Drake case in New Jersey, let's assume it's heard, let's assume the ruling is in our favor. What does that mean going forward? Now, can you? What happens next?
Well, you raise as part of that question, you know, natural reciprocity. And, you know, let's talk about what else happened this week. You have a Virginia federal judge in Virginia that made a ruling that marriages licensed to perform in other states must be recognized by the state of Virginia. Well, couldn't that same ruling apply to licenses to carry? If you have a license to carry in one state, that it now should be recognized in the state that says you can't carry? So I think, quite frankly, some of these rulings, the precedents in non-gun areas might come back and help us, you know, in firearms areas as well. And let me just real quick, I know we're running out of time, but with the Ninth Circuit possibly hearing that case in Bonk, I think if the Supreme Court were to decide to hear Drake, at that point the Ninth Circuit would not hear it in Bonk. They'd put a stay on it no matter what, waiting for the Supreme Court decision.
Right.
So I think based on Drake, if the Supreme Court decides to hear Drake, I think there's no real chance that the Ninth Circuit will hear it in Bonk.
Okay, when do you expect or when would you hope to see a decision by the Supreme Court to hear the Drake case?
Well, the earliest that they can hear it is it's going to go to them for a conference in mid-April. So the earliest date they can decide to hear it would be at the first conference if it comes up at that conference in mid-April. If not, it's weekly thereafter, that each week when they hold their Supreme Court holds their conferences to decide which cases they're going to take in the October term, it could come up any time thereafter. So say any time from mid-April through the end of June, maybe when they go on recess, we should know. And, of course, we also know in our case we have our number one person arguing that case. Alan Gura will be arguing that case before the Supreme Court, who won both Heller and McDonald at that court. That's who would be arguing the Drake case on behalf of the Second Amendment Foundation. So, I mean, we have everything lined up. We just got to get the court to say yes. We'll hear the case.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I mean when I say when you need to put toothpicks under your eyes. This is a man that has toothpicks under his eyes. While we're all sleeping, this is the work that's being done on our behalf. That's why it's so vitally important to support these groups, to support Alan Gottlieb, to support the Second Amendment Foundation, to support the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Head over to saf.org, saf.org, and join this organization. I did. You should. This is the work these people are doing while you are sleeping, and it matters. A simple donation to the organization, $25, $5, $10, whatever you can afford to help move these cases forward is absolutely vital to your freedoms. Without these groups and without men like Alan Gottlieb, we wouldn't have the freedoms that we have today. I can guarantee you that. Okay, so Alan, back to this. I would assume that national reciprocity would obviously pick up some steam moving forward. Let's go back to this Drake in Jersey. You know, there's rumors flying around that the governor of New Jersey might run for president. And it seems to me that when we have to have cases like Drake be heard to the level of the Supreme Court, that we don't have a friend in New Jersey, do we, relative to gun rights?
Well, you're probably right about that, but we also may not have an enemy either.
Okay.
To be perfectly fair about it, so far in the Drake case, which has come up through the federal courts and the appeals court out of New Jersey, the Attorney General for New Jersey, which is under the jurisdiction of the governor, has played ball with us in a much more fair way than most states do. So while he had to move to uphold their law and oppose our suit, they've done it in a way that hasn't rung up our legal bill too highly. They haven't thrown roadblocks in our way the way, let's say, the state of Illinois has done or the state of New York has done. So in fairness, I'm going to say they're not really a friend. I'm not sure they're a total enemy either. Of course, there's no doubt that if the powers to be in the legislature in New Jersey are not friends, and the powers to be on the courts in New Jersey are not friends, but the Christie administration, while they've opposed our efforts, they've done it in an above-board manner compared to the way some of these other states have done it.
Okay, well, isn't that similar to saying, hearing from a criminal who's walking by your open car door with the keys in it and having him say to you, I'm not going to take your car today, even though you left the keys in it? Wouldn't it be better if he came out and made a statement one way or the other, particularly if he wants to run for president, and say, hey, I support this or I don't? I'd have more respect for Obama if he would come out and say what we all know he thinks.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you totally. And as an aside, real quickly, what's really interesting is these cases in Peruta and San Diego County, and our case Richards in Yolo County. The state of California was asked by the courts to intervene. They chose not to. So the state of California, even though these are state California laws being implemented by counties, the state is not a party to the suit. They have chosen to try and hide from it, which is also very interesting.
That is interesting. Sean, let me get your take on all of this. We haven't heard much from you. Fascinating conversation with Alan. Your take quickly.
I'm just happy that to see things move forward. And I know we still have a fight that we need to do. But, Alan's done a wonderful job, and along with all the gun activists and news. And it's what it's going to take. It's going to take us, pushing this forward to beat these anti-gun zealots.
It's one step at a time, Alan, isn't it? It's one step at a time.
Yeah, well, they're taking away our rights one step at a time, too, and gun owners have to realize we don't get them all back in one fell swoop. It's one step at a time.
Yep, right.
But they have to be a little patient and also recognize the fact we do have a game plan, and we're working day and night to make it happen.
Yep.
Yeah, all of this. This is not just throwing spaghetti at the walls and seeing what's sticking, ladies and gentlemen. These groups, men like Alan Gottlieb, and these organizations that you can participate in, like I do, and be a member of these organizations, is doing this in a very how would you describe it, Alan? It's the laid out plans, correct?
Well, it's a laid out plan, but in fairness, we also need a little bit of luck too. You need, right. You know, the Supreme Court doesn't have to hear the case; they have to choose to take it. Mm-hmm. So you need a little bit of luck to go with the hard work.
Now, your prediction, obviously you have a lot of experience, many years of experience doing this. You feel confident right now, particularly after what happened in the Ninth Circuit in California of the Supreme Court hearing this case. If you had to put this at a 60, 70, 80%, 50%, I hate to put you on the spot with that, but you feel good about this? You feel it's over 50?
I think it's over 50, but it may not be over 60. So let's say 60, 40 at best. The Supreme Court can only hear so many cases, you know, per session. So, it's tough to get a case heard. Almost all cases, like, you know, over 20. For every one they take, they don't take over 20. So, it's not really great odds to start with. But in our case, I think our odds are better than 50-50.
And it's a hot-button issue. Alan, thank you so much for doing everything you do on behalf of all of us in America who love freedoms, whether we're gun owners or not. In this case, we are. Alan Gottlieb, everybody, from the Second Amendment Foundation. You can join them and help them and help us and help yourself at saf.org for Second Amendment Foundation, saf.org. Do us all a favor and help these people out. They have got your back. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. Armed American Radio continues. Crossbreed Holster will be here in the next hour. Remember, carry on, carry often, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Back after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby, like a dark view. Jealous me by the clamor now, baby.
Folks, you paid a king's ransom to send your kids to the finest colleges. Now they've graduated, and guess what? They can't find a job. You've already invested in their education. Now invest in their careers. Start a business that your adult children can run and flourish in. Hugh Hewitt here. Give your children the break in life they really need using money you already have. Just call my friend Steve Cooper at ersop.com, the Entrepreneur Rollover Stock Ownership Plan.
Thanks, Hugh. We've helped countless people use their retirement money to invest in businesses for themselves and their family. It only takes a couple of weeks to finance, and it's totally legal.
Trust ersop.com to help you start a small, profitable business that could give your adult children a head start. Turn your family's fortunes around using your own money legally with no debt or payments. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. 866-MY-ERSOP.
New from America's most influential commentator, Charles Krauthammer, the best-selling book, Things That Matter, 3 decades of passions, pastimes, and politics. For years, readers and viewers have flocked to Krauthammer for his keen insight into politics, government, chess, and baseball. Now the best of Krauthammer's intelligence, wisdom, and wit are collected in one volume, perfect for the armchair pundit in your life. Pick up a copy of Things That Matter wherever books are sold.